Blog Talk Radio.
Rockefeller, y'all. Good morning. Let's go, Sports City.
Woo! 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 Out and back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay, Hov, I got it from here, man. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the Sports City Chefs. I got my co-host with me for this morning going into the afternoon. Peach Treat Zone. Matt is in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great, Chai. Chef Matthew in the building, Peachtree's finest. I'm ready to slam on these dishes.
Okay, I need that fire. He already pumped me up for today. I'm feeling some type of way. I know I could vibe with him, so I think we might have to catch a concert and share a drink or two, or you know, eat some Waffle House. I don't know if he eat Waffle House, but I know when I get below Virginia, I am eating Waffle House. I got order Huddle House or the Cookout. I'm my family's from the South. I eat all that good stuff. But anyway. Let me get cooking because I got a lot of good stuff. I'm making Matt cook today. Believe me, Sports City, but I'm gonna do this as quick as I possibly can. Going through the top 25, and the first game we have is Baylor. They beat West Virginia in a Big 12 matchup, 70-59, in which West Virginia. I'm gonna say this: Bob Huggins and the way that he coaches, I respect him. And he's always around the top 25 or in the top 25, but he loses these tough games. It's not like when he was in Cincinnati back in the day. But nevertheless, Baylor is the real deal, and everybody gets it done on Baylor. That's what I like about Baylor, like the whole team could play. So I respect what Baylor's able to do right now, but I want to see them outside of the Big 12 too. They are 12-0 in Big 12 play. They are 23-1 on the season. Gonzaga wins their matchup up against Pepperdine, 89-77 in the West Coast Conference. 12-0 in conference play, 26-1 as well. I think these two will continue to fight, but I think Baylor will stay at top because I think their conference is stronger. But it's not like this every year in conference play. You have Kansas that wins their game at home, 87-70 up against Oklahoma. This isn't the same Oklahoma that you're used to. Kansas is playing them when they're at home. I love to see them when they're away because they get battle tested. Isaac Boogie had a crazy alley-oop dunk yesterday. If you didn't see it, please go see it. Upset of the day yesterday, Louisville goes to South Carolina and loses to Clemson, and not just loses this game. They get beat bad. I don't want to say like blowout, but it is borderline, 77-62, 15 points. I consider that a blowout, but I see how you guys are treated if you want to, but Louisville's top five in the nation. Like, to me, that's a bad loss. But Clemson is also beating another tough team in that arena. They beat Duke, so this, you know, this is a tough situation for me to overlook Clemson, but they're 13-12 on the season. I don't know if the committee will look toward them. They have to continue to win more games to get there, but they've had some upsets this season in Clemson, but they've lost a fair amount of games. They lost 12 on the season. Dayton wins their game up against UMass, 71-63. If you have not seen Obi Toppin play, this is this year's version of Zion. I'm not calling him Zion, but the way that he gets to the rim and finishes, he's an awesome player. But Dayton is 23-2, ranked sixth. I think they'll definitely move up with Louisville losing. Duke wins their game up against Notre Dame in a blowout, 94-60. Mike Bray, I don't know how to look at you no more. Like, I call him a quality coach, but every time he's playing Coach K now, Coach K owns him. He owns him, and I don't think Bray will get over the hump. Notre Dame has to watch him closely. He's a quality coach. I don't want to take too much away from him, but every time he's playing like these big name teams, it's like he defers. But we'll see. We'll see as it moves forward in the next year or 2 years after that. But I'm questioning it because it happens often. Florida State wins their game up against Syracuse, in which Syracuse had a shot at the end of the game to win this game. They did not, but Florida State closes this game out 80-77 in a tight ACC battle. Maryland wins their game in East Lansing up against Michigan State, 67-60. Maryland is proving that they are for real. They are a top 10 team at this point in time. Michigan State is not ranked, especially with Cassius playing at the rate that he's been playing. Been talked about being one of the Naismith players of the year, but I think that now that Michigan State is not ranked, I think he may fall out of that contention. But nevertheless, Maryland wins on their floor, especially being down at a good portion of the time with like minutes left on the clock. I want to say it was like a 4-minute run that Maryland went on to regain the lead and go up for the rest of the game. Another upset. Seton Hall goes into Providence and wins that game. Providence wins 74-71, in which Alpha Diallo goes off for 35 points and 10 rebounds. Meanwhile, Cuzzo Miles Powell had a 27-point game, but he had a slow start. And I think that's another thing that a lot of these teams in the Big East are conquering on Seton Hall is trying to send men in waves at Miles Powell. If he doesn't get going, it's like a slow start for Seton Hall. So that's a way to chink the armor for the Pirates. I want to see how Seton Hall moves forward because it can't just be Miles Powell moving forward, even though it has been him for at least the past two or three seasons. Another upset, and this is where I look at Coach Bruce Pearl. They lose to Missouri 85-73, being an 11th-ranked team in the nation. They lose a questionable game on the road. And I don't know if Auburn will be in the top 15. I think this may end up sinking them because Missouri is under 500. If Auburn has three losses, well, this is their third loss in the season. They lose to a team that's under 500 and in conference play. This could be a standing loss at this point in time. Hopefully Auburn can rebuild themselves up, but this may end up dropping them past 15, but I'll see. Kentucky wins their game up against Ole Miss 67-62. Penn State wins their matchup against Northwestern. And Penn State is a team to reckon with. Please do not sleep on them. 77-61 up against Northwestern. Colorado beats Oregon State 69-47. Another interesting loss at the end of the game. SMU beats Houston 73-72. There is a 19th-ranked team that I'm missing. Georgetown beats 19th-ranked Butler 73-66. You know I love that. In which Matt McClung did not play. Omer Yurtseven did not play. Two of their starting stars, the stars of the team, did not play, and Georgetown pulled that off. I don't know what Patrick is up to, but I'm smelling it here in the kitchen. Believe me, I love it. Keep it going, fellas. Another upset. Well, I can't really call this an upset because Rutgers is playing good ball. Rutgers wins their matchup up against Illinois 72-57. Illinois, I think they may win. And these lower teams in from the 21 to 25, that loss, they may end up falling out of the top 25, but we'll see. But I think Rutgers may have stumped Illinois at this point in time. Illinois may fall out of the top 25. Creighton takes care of business up against DePaul, 93-64. Texas Tech, being the team that was in the finals or the national championship last year, loses to Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 73-70. Texas Tech will fall out of the top 25, I think, with this loss, and this could probably threaten if they will make the dance next, well, this upcoming March, to see if they could, defend the title, if you will, even though I know they'll probably get knocked off, but it'll be interesting. And last but not least, to round out the top 25, with the news that just came to LSU, too, Alabama beats 25th-ranked LSU 88-82, in which there's a player that was playing in the game with a broken hand cast on and everything. He had 6 points and 17 rebounds to make that a career high for himself. But the news that LSU just got is Sharif O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal's son is transferring from UCLA to his father's alma mater, which should be fitting and classic. I don't know why would you go away from where your father made a name for himself and has a statue out there. I would definitely love to follow in his footsteps. So LSU just got that news this week as well. Matt, any game that you'd like to go over or games that we covered just now in the top 25 that you'd like to speak on before we get away from it?
Well, it's very tough as an Auburn Tiger fan myself to have to sit here on your show and rehash what I witnessed last night. Witnessed it firsthand, not in person. I wasn't in Missouri, but I was watching from my couch. And to see Bruce Pearl get a technical foul and also two flagrant fouls on Auburn. That's six free throws we gave Missouri. Not only that, you can't hit a free throw yourself, and you're supposed to be a top 15 team. Like you said, they're probably going to fall out of the top 15. It was a lackluster effort. They can play a lot better. Give Missouri a little bit of credit. That little guard, Pinson, he can play. You know, he showed up. I think he had 25-plus. Kalonzo Martin needed this win. I think he's trying to save his job at Missouri. I think he's, you know, he's really, really needed that win, and the crowd was fired up. Any given Saturday, I'll call it. The normal expression is any given Sunday, but if you're on the road and you're ranked, you better watch out in college basketball because these teams are gunning for you. I think Bruce Pearl got a wake-up call. I think we needed this loss. I think we're going to regroup. I think we're going to make a run at the SEC. You got to worry about Kentucky. LSU, I don't think O'Neal's son's allowed to play this year, but they're going to be a serious threat coming up next year. They're very scary. They're already very good. So you got to worry about LSU and Kentucky if you're Auburn in the SEC championship. Other games I noticed in the top 25 that we covered, pretty sure you brought up Kansas. Kansas cruised against Oklahoma. They laid the smack down at home, what they're supposed to do. I saw Creighton blew out DePaul by about 30. Creighton seems to be a solid team. You mentioned Penn State. I have Penn State as a top 5 seed in the tournament, maybe a 2 or 3 seed this year. They really are stacked. One notable upset I'll mention. Butler went down against the Hoyas, like you mentioned it, with two players out for the Hoyas. The Hoyas beat them outright.
Yes. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I'm giving you a round of applause. Yes. Keep going. Good.
Oh, no doubt. I was trying to hear it. But, yeah, your Hoyas got it done with freshman guards. Not only that, they went down the floor 12 straight times and scored 12 times in a row late in the game. They were clutch. I gotta give Patrick Ewing a round of applause. Great win for the Hoyas. And that's pretty much a wrap on college basketball. Gonzaga did what they had to do. Not very impressive, but they won by 12. Like you said, Duke smashed Notre Dame, and Notre Dame had been doing pretty good this year. I'll mention Dayton as a final word. Dayton cruised on the road against UMass, but not that impressive. So we'll see what happens. I'm ready for the conference tournaments here in about 3 weeks.
Man, Matthew just gave me goosebumps. I got the chills. He just threw out Georgetown. But this is the crazy thing that I know I 100% agree with them. I don't care if they're on the road or not. Like, I'm going to spice that dish up even more. I don't care if they're on the road or not. If you are ranked, especially if you're playing an unranked team, I don't know what these coaches are saying in that locker room. I don't know what these kids come out of that tunnel and tell each other in the huddle when the coach ain't around. But these teams are fired up. It don't matter who they are playing. They are ready for you, and you will end up losing if you go up in there lackluster thinking that that scoreboard is just going to change because you guys are paper champions for the day. No, you better go out there and play because teams will get threatened. Just like Florida State almost lost to Syracuse, and Syracuse is having one of those under-the-radar seasons where Boeheim is, you know, should be in question, but I don't want to threaten Boeheim because Boeheim's been Syracuse's coach since 76. So it's like I don't really want to say it in that nasty of a term, but it's like I want to see him, like, his health decrease before he leaves that job. I don't want to see them fire Boeheim. He's a staple for Syracuse. But for Syracuse to go into Florida State and make it that tough of a game for Leonard Hamilton and the Seminoles for that game, that's tough. But just like he said, anybody, I don't care who you are, they don't even have to be on the road. If they're at home and they go on a run, let's just say a team goes on a 7-0 run and they're up 5 and it's pushing it toward the second half, you better watch out. Because that alarm light is blinking. This can be an upset alert. You can go down. Interesting that Matt threw out Penn State could be a fifth-ranked team in the tournament. I want to see if they do that, 5 or 4. They can be that type of team. Their quality, I seen them firsthand when they beat the crap out of Georgetown. And I was mad because they have bigs that can control the boards and score, and they got shooters all across the floor. So Penn State, the people better recognize what these Nittany Lions are doing. It's not just football anymore up there in northern Pennsylvania. That is for sure. That's basically it for the top 25, like you mentioned. I mean, there's a couple of games that were blowouts, but just like he said, I was watching that Butler game, and just like it's just going too back and forth for me, and I can't wait for year 7. He was supposed to play, and they scratched him right before the game, and Max's foot has been hurt. I don't know if he sprained his ankle or did something to his foot, but he's been out for the past 3 or 4 games, and Georgetown has been winning without Max. So that says a lot, too. So hopefully these guys are building their confidence before they head into this Big East tournament, because I don't care what anybody says. A lot of people like to say the ACC. The Big East is where basketball lives. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I see it much different. Okay, so now, let me start cooking for Matthew, a.k.a. Peachtree's Finest, right? Because Sports City, he's in the kitchen and we got to cook together, right? But I got some dishes for him that I'm going to make him a fat boy today. He don't like to eat, but he's going to eat today. So, first out of the gate, man, I want to hear your thoughts and opinions because I get to cook all around the board, Sports City. Like, I don't have to favor one subject right now. I can go all across the board. It ain't just heavy NBA. Of course, we can cover college basketball, but I'm going to go around the board. So, Matt, your thoughts on how things are being handled in Texas, a.k.a. Houston, Texas, better known as the debacle of the Houston Astros. Now, I want to ask you, should they strip the Houston Astros of their World Series win and all of the previous, you know, success that they've had, making it as far as an ALCS and losing, you know, or losing in the World Series, things of that nature, because they don't know how long this situation has lasted, but they're just questioning that season of 2017. And, you know, how everything is getting crazier and crazier. You got Cody Bellinger, a player that I love. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a Dodgers fan by any means. But I love Cody Bellinger. He's one of the players that you cannot throw anything across the plate that he got laser beam on because he's going to take you out of the park. And he's getting into a verbal spat with Correa, knowing that they went up against the Dodgers and the Dodgers lost. But your thoughts on everything that's going on in Houston, are they handling this correctly? Before I dig into some more stuff in the MLB with this.
You got an absolute chaotic situation in Houston. Yeah, there's a lot of he said, she said. I guess Carlos Carrera came out yesterday, defended his guys, defended Altuve, made the bold claim that Altuve did not cheat. He did not know where it was located, even though if you watch the tape, when he rounded home plate after he hit the game-winning home run, I believe it was in the World Series against the Dodgers, he was wearing a device that he had to run into the locker room and take off. In my opinion, the Astros are cheaters. They cheated. They knowingly did it. And I don't know why 2017 is getting called out because, as far as I'm concerned, they did it for years and years. Mm-hmm. And is the punishment right? Absolutely. Should it almost be harsher? Should someone like Altuve be suspended? I'm going to weigh that option because, look, these guys, like you said, should they lose the World Series? I think they should. Now, it's really hard to do that. It's very complicated. I mean, what are you going to do, give the Dodgers the World Series when they didn't actually win it? You know, like I said, Carrera came out and said Altuve did not cheat for the World Series against the Dodgers. And I don't know how he can make that bold claim. I'm very interested to see MLB, like the actual players, and how they respond. Now, I'm sure you're aware, Dusty Baker came out yesterday, and he said he wants the MLB to protect the Astros this year because he knows very well the players, specifically pitchers on other teams, you can name Trevor Bauer and a few have spoken out, are going to be gunning, as far as gunning, throwing at the Houston Astros this year. And I do not like seeing people get hurt, Ty, but if there's any team that deserves to get pegged, maybe in the head, it's the Houston Astros this year. Ty, your thoughts about these cheaters?
I don't want you to be too brash. I don't want to see nobody get pelted in the head because that's concussion stuff, and you know, people can lose their sight, they can lose their sanity. I don't want to see that. But I understand where you're coming from because it's definitely against the integrity of the MLB. It's brutal for me because the way I want to just see the game go on. You know what I'm saying? I want to see people continue to play the game and go out there and beat them. So when you beat them, like, do like the NFL does. I think it's more or less of a better celebration than anything. When y'all win and they get ready to interview them on the sideline, go dunk the Gatorade jug on somebody, whoever the key hitter or contributor was, or the pitcher that was on fire to have mass strikeouts or a no hitter or a perfect game. Whatever you're doing to the Astros, celebrate in their face. Like, I'm being biased with what I'm about to say, but like the Twins, they like to catch somebody, whoever had the hot game or had the better game, they do the cream pie, like whatever the shaving cream or whipped cream, whatever, they go get a pie and whoever's doing the interview don't see it coming. They smash them in the face with a whole pie full of either shaving cream or whipped cream, and then it's like continue to interview like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so do something like that on Houston. Like, I don't want, like you said, I don't want to see anybody injured either, but I understand your aggression to it, and I feel a certain way to it, but I don't want to see that. Like, yeah, beam them in the backside or somewhere you ain't going to hurt something. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that, but that gives them a base. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't want to see them get any competitive edge. Just go out there and beat them and do what you have to do. Now, here goes the crazy part that I'm looking at, right? To strip them, just like you said, I agree with you. Don't strip them and just give it to the Dodgers. The Dodgers got to go out there and earn it. Because to be honest, I just turn my total attention to the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is the same team that continues to dominate their portion of the season, does well in the NL, and then when they get to the National League postseason, they can't do crap. Kershaw falls apart. It's like, oh, he's Cy Young this, he's Cy Young that, and they start smacking him around. It's like, wait, no. Y'all got to step up to the plate and do what y'all got to do, especially with the huge battle that y'all have between Jock Peterson, which y'all are throwing up in trade rumors, and Cody Bellinger, to me, probably one of I'll be fair, top five batter in the league. I don't even want to say just National League. In the league, I put Cody in that discussion. So you guys and Turner as well, they got batters to get it done, and they always fall short in the postseason. It's like when they feel that air get colder in California, I don't really want to say it's cold, but like once it gets to like 60, it's like they stop playing good ball. Like, no, I don't want them to be tossed a World Series that they know they didn't earn. Like, they got to go out there and get it. And that's what everybody. I understand how the MLB tries to hold things, but this one is personal to me, what I'm about to say, and I know a lot of people come at me when I discuss this. You are not going to suspend any player or anything, but you did fire the GM and the skipper at the same time, right? This is why it gets personal, because I met this man in Las Vegas, Nevada. You mean to tell me that you're holding Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball and he bet on his team to win, and they won? He bet. Okay, that's something that you can do now. You're human. You can do it. You're holding him out until he dies. You're waiting until Pete Rose dies to bring him into the Hall of Fame. But yet, this team cheated, got caught, and everybody coming up confessing, including players that are on different teams that don't have no attachment to the Houston Astros, they're confessing that this went down and nobody's getting in trouble. MLB, you are stained, tainted, however you want to look at it. It's funny how everything is around MLB and they're still able to survive and still being tossed around as one of the kings in sports when this has been the steroid era. You have the mechanism era. You have everything is happening in baseball, like everything. Like they can't stop all of the holes in this sport, and it's tough right now. First off, get this situation together with the Astros, because you're not done, but you're trying to clean and wash your hands before this season starts. You're not done. You have work to do. And secondly, they waited for, you know, higher ups. I'm not going to get into the names that say that Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. People have been saying this for decades. And don't let it be this year when you have some scrutiny right now in front of the Houston Astros for you to consider Pete Rose to be in Hall of Fame. He should have been in there a while ago. And hopefully he does get in there while he's alive to receive his roses. I can't even think of at least two other players that have 4,000 hits. 4,000 hits. I could think about Derek Jeter and the way he was smacking the ball, and I can't stand the Yankees. If you know me personally, you know I do not like the Yankees. But there's one player, there's a few players I do respect out of the Yankees organization. But knowing that every time Jeter got into the play, he got a hit. And he's nowhere near 4,000. Like, come on. He all deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Look, the baseball, y'all better get it together. Y'all got to get it fixed. Matt, anything else around that before I move on?
I love that you brought up Charlie Hustle. One of my favorite players of all time, even though I wasn't alive when he did most of his damage. The guy was a great player. I don't care about what he did off the field. So what? He bet on his own team. He admitted it. The fact that the Houston Astros are getting a free pass, a lot of these guys, when their careers are over, they may be allowed into the Hall of Fame. And you're not going to let the greatest hitter, literally the greatest hitter probably as far as contact goes, to be in the Hall of Fame because he gambled on his team. The MLB is always full of hypocrisy. I do love it, but they always have some controversy going on, and it's just not right what they're doing. The number 14, Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, always hustled the first. He slid into first base with his face. The guy was passionate about baseball. He was a great player. I get jerseys number 14 after him. Please, MLB, do the right thing here and put Charlie Hustle in the Hall of Fame. That's all I got on that, Ty.
Okay, I'm not done with you. Believe me, I got some good cooking. See, I knew he would like the dishes that I have for him today, but I feel a certain way because there's more people in the professional world, the professional athletes that are speaking up about this if they should strip the World Series title from Houston. And I'm on the line. I'm on the borderline with it. Like, I feel they should be stripped, but then it's like, where does that championship go? Do they just leave it in thin air? Because I don't think they should just hand it to the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers were the team that they played and supposedly cheated on. So I understand how, but it's like they wouldn't even feel like they earned it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to give us rings now, 3 years later? Like no. Like, so I want to see how they handle this situation. It's tough. Okay. The next thing I want to get into, I want to cover a little gridiron. I want to do this quickly before I start to dig into the All-Star Weekend and the festivity, like I said. Your thoughts, and I'm staying right in the state of Texas. I'm going to keep it right there in the state of Texas. How do you feel about Dak Prescott and the situation that's going on in Texas in which they have not come up with a deal yet? They said that if this continues to go on, that Dak may be looking for greener pastures somewhere else in the future. I don't think it'll be this season. I think Dallas can't afford to watch Dak go somewhere else this season. So they're going to keep him around, probably tag him, things of that nature. But how do you feel about Dak Prescott, the way that they're handling this and the money that he's looking for? Now, don't get me wrong. Here we go, Sports City. I'm going to be honest, even though I'm not a Cowboys fan, I do not like them, but I'm going to be real. Dak is a good quality quarterback. Even though he does not pass the ball well downfield, he has some flaw, but everybody on this earth has a flaw, right? In which he's been successful. They win games. They get to the postseason. They didn't get there this year. It ended up watching their coach get fired, but I don't blame all of that on Dak. I believe that was more or less scheme and the situation that I'm pinning toward, like, I say both of them, and Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett, because I don't think Jason Garrett was calling everything, because Jason Garrett don't even really have a headset. He's just over there clapping and hoping everything goes accordingly. And Kellen Moore being the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, and being a part of the former Detroit Lions backup quarterback, is like, okay, I wanted to see him be successful in Detroit. He gets down to Dallas. Him and Linehan, they all been a part of Detroit going to Dallas, and it never worked out. It didn't work out. So I think it's more than just that. But the numbers that he's reaching for, now I know the Cowboys are probably the more financially set team in the league. I think they're the highest, money amount in sports. I think they're worth like $5 billion or something like that. There's something like that with Jerry Jones. So I know that, you know, they could probably throw a decent amount of money at Dak, but he's looking for upwards of $30 to $40 million a year. Now, they just pay Zeke. Zeke just got some money. Then if they pay Dak near that type of money, they're going to end up soaking up a lot of stuff to try and keep a lot of the big-name players there. Do you think he's worth the money that he's looking for? Should he settle for something less? Or do Dallas kind of, like, you know, deal with him for the next year and a half, 2 years, and then look for another quarterback within the draft or around the league? Your thoughts on the Dak Prescott situation that's going on in the heart of Texas?
Well, Ty, if it's my understanding, he turned down a one-year, $33 million contract. Or maybe it was multiple years, but it averaged $33 million a year. I'm appalled. I'm disgusted. I am outraged by this. How do you walk away from $33 million a year? I don't care if you're Michael Jordan, LeBron James, any of these guys. I know we're shifting around to another sport, but if someone offers you $33 million to play a sport, how do you turn it down? He's already established in Dallas. I know it has something to do with Zeke. You're right. But I don't understand. I don't understand Prescott here. I don't get it. I think he's a great talent. I think he should have just accepted it and just stay put and stop distracting the team with your big contract. Be a team player. Just, if $33 million is not enough money, then I really don't know how he can ever be happy. I just don't get it. I think he needs to sign on the dotted line. If not, Jerry Jones is a tough SOB boss. He will find a replacement, and he will find it at a lot better cost. So for Jerry Jones, every personnel player is expendable. So Zach needs to step up here. He needs to have a change of heart, which doesn't happen often in this business, but I can't get over it. When I heard that, I mean, I think that is right where he's worth.
Let me be more fair to you. Where do you think his target per year should be? Should it be 20 to 25, 25 to 30? I don't know if you're faring with 30 to 35 or 35 to 40. I mean, where do you think? Is he one of those $17 million a year quarterbacks? Do you think it's around there? Where do you think he should, you know, see his annual rate be?
I'm going to give him 25 to 30. I'm going to give him 25 to 30. He's improved every year. He's a good player. I think he's still growing. I think he's still getting better. But I would think the max is 30. That's why, in my eyes, when they offer him 33, I'm blown away by this, Ty. I guess the salaries are just going to keep – everything is inflated, I guess. I guess we should just get used to these type of contracts. I mean, the guy has he even been to an NFC Championship game? I don't believe he has. I mean, in some ways you got to, but the stats he puts up are so good that I'll give him 30 mil, but that's my max, Ty. And on the low end, that 17 million mark, if the Cowboys go 8-8, I think there should be something in his contract where it's an incentive based contract. But if he happens to go 8-8, they don't make the playoffs, he should get brought down to $17 million. Is that what we're paying nowadays? Are we paying $17 million to go 8-8? Because if the Cowboys go 8-8, there's going to be a lot of angry people in Dallas.
Right. And then if they go 8-8, how much of this you hang on Garrett? Even though Garrett's gone, Garrett's in New York now with the Giants, it's going to be interesting to see this game. Two times a year, New York and Dallas, and then Dallas and New York, I'm going to love to see how that goes down. But just to know, that this is the number that Dak is looking for, and I'm going to be honest. It's almost like egg on his face right now, because if he turned down 33 on 1 year, right, they're not coming back to that type of money unless he goes off this season and Dallas, like you said, they're probably going to get to the championship game or the Super Bowl. For him to look at Dak and be like, well, here you go. Here goes 35 a year. Because he's not going to get that. They're going to definitely lowball him. He's going to end up, just like you said, probably at the best 25 to 30. But I think it's going to be anywhere from 15 to 23. I think he'll probably end up getting like $15 to $23 million, because he has to prove himself other than the regular season. They do well within the regular season. They finished above 500. They haven't fallen below 500. They're going to have to prove to the world that they can do it without Garrett. They're going to have to come up with a different scheme, but it's going to be different because you have a you have Kellen Moore still there. Kellen Moore, the quarterback. Dak's the quarterback. McCarthy is more of a pass-leading coach as well. So it's almost like the same thing, but it's going to be somewhat of a different system where they're probably going to take the ball out of Zeke's hands more. So it's like it's going to be more of a pass-leading Cowboys team. So we're going to have to see how they pan out in the future. And to win the NFC East, they're on a threat to win now. Like, they don't have time to play around. This team is actually gaining age. I mean, everybody's getting older by the second, but their front line is getting older. Tyron Smith is injury prone. Almost every year he's getting hurt. They have to watch Zeke because Zeke is entering, what, the fifth or sixth year of his career, where NFL running backs don't last longer than 8 or 9 seasons. They're getting long in the tooth with Zeke, even though he has that world-class speed and can hit a home run if he sees daylight. They have to worry about everything, let alone who they have in the cavalry in the wide receiver core. I mean, they have Cooper, and you have to worry about Cobb. Dez is trying to get back there. I'm wondering if they go get Dez. Tavon Austin has been a hit or miss situation. This is something to watch. So this is bigger than just what Dak is looking for. Dak needs to look around that whole organization before he tries to soak up a whole bunch of money and then don't have any pieces around him looking into the future, because if that's the case, that front line won't be there. You'll be taking hits that you don't want to hit, and you're going to have to be mobile like you are now, but even more running away from pressure than sitting back there and making throws that you should be able to make downfield and are not being able to connect on. So this is something that Dallas needs to look at for in the future. That is number one situation NFL-wise in Texas. But I'm still in the state of Texas, but I'm getting away now. I'm going to give Matthew some more home cooking. I'm not done with Matt. I'm not done, but we are going to stay in the NFL. That is for sure. Matt, your guy, Myles Garrett, has been reinstated. Your thoughts on the situation and the, I want to say more or less, the altercation that happened in that game, in which we all know the helmet ripping, and then he hit him with the crown of the helmet, or I don't even think it was the underneath the helmet that hit him, but still, yeah, he hit him in the top of the head with it. And he's spoken out basically saying that Mason Rudolph threw out a racial slur, and Rudolph has stood up and said that's a bold-faced lie. And this is the crazy part, and I'm glad I got you here, and what me and him have been through, me and Matt have been through, you know what I'm saying? But it's good that I get to bring this up, you know what I'm saying? Why is everybody hung up on division? Why is there always something like this that is in the fabric of America? Like, why is it like that? Why can't sports be played on a regular platform? And I think that's one thing that brings us together is sports and entertainment. Like, outside of that, outside of sports and entertainment, we go back to our natural lives and stuff happens. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we can form to get along when it comes to sports or entertainment, but then outside of that, it's like we're different. Like, no, we all breathe oxygen. We all bleed blood, period. I don't know what, because the skin complexion is different. Get off of it. But I want to know your thoughts and where you were, because you weren't in the kitchen at this point in time when it went down. Your thoughts on everything that went down in that game in which Cleveland was winning and Miles did the incident with Mason. They got into it. And then your thoughts on how these both of them are speaking out at this point in time as well.
Wow. What a mess in Cleveland. I'm going to read you Rudolph Mason. Yesterday on Twitter, he says, and I quote, 1,000% false, bold-faced lie, I did not, have not, and would not utter a racial slur. This is a disgusting and reckless attempt to assassinate my character, end quote. Man, the Cleveland Browns, no matter what, just find a way to get in a mess. You got Baker Mayfield, supposedly this week. Two different women came out. I guess he was married. I didn't know that, Ty. Two women came out and said they're having affairs with him. Now you got back with this Myles Garrett stuff. Yes, that was an ugly scene. In my opinion, yes, I'm a little bit biased. I saw Rudolph kick him where the sun doesn't shine. It's on the tape,
right?
But it wasn't really noticed. I saw Rudolph start the whole thing, in my opinion. Now, yes, should Garrett have swung his helmet at Rudolph? Of course not. You've got to show some constraint. He probably cost himself a couple $1 million by doing that. It was a huge error. It was brutal. It was disgusting. It almost, you go back to the malice at the palace, it's almost reminiscent of that. Now, you do have a big rivalry with the Steelers and the Browns. As far as Garrett's claim about the N-word, is it possible on the field? Yes, it's very possible something was said. Of course, Rudolph is going to deny it. He doesn't want to be known as a racist. But I also heard recently that Garrett said that the guys were mic'd up. And I think Tomlin addressed that. And they're not – I don't know what – I have to read a little bit more about that. But Garrett's making the claim that guys around him were mic'd up. Now, whether the NFL – got rid of those tapes or whoever's in charge of it. I don't know if the network, whoever was broadcasting it's in charge of that and they were disposed of. You know, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy he got reinstated. I hope he learned from his mistake. And I just, this is an absolute tornado already in Cleveland with Baker and of course, Miles. I'm hoping Miles can put it past him and not get any more media scrutiny and just have a good career. Please, Miles, if you lose your cool, just walk away. Please, just walk away. The team needs you. We need you on defense. We need your passion. You're a great player, but you got to use self-control in life. Look, if you get into someone at a traffic stop, Ty, do you get out of your car and go over there and headbutt them? You don't do that. I don't do that. We can't do that. Well, they'll lock us up. They will lock us up and throw away the key if we do that. We'll at least probably spend the night in jail for doing that.
Right.
So, Miles, please, I beg you, Miles, get your head in the ball game. The team needs you. And, Baker, please get help like Tiger Woods because apparently you got a problem. Ty, your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns.
Man, You hit so much stuff, I don't even know, like, which way to attack this, but I'm going to try my best, right? I agree with you 100% on Myles Garrett having to clean up his act. Now, here goes the crazy part. This is the only thing he ever did in his career. He's not a bad guy in high school. He wasn't a bad guy in college. He ripped up college and he got into the league. He had no baggage, no black cloud over his head at all. This is the only thing that he ever did. And this one is big. Now, back to what you said on what happened. When you look at the camera that's coming from the end zone toward them, you see not only the kick, right? You see Mason pull his face mask first, right? So Mason Rudolph, I'm going to guess his stats, and I don't know exactly how big he is, but I want to say he's probably like 6'3 to 6'5. I don't know if he's that tall, but I'll give him 6'3 to 6'5 in that range. In about 215 to 225, maybe 230. I don't know. I don't think he's in his 240. I don't think he's that heavy, but he got to be an NFL quarterback. He got to have a decent size on him. Compared to a 6'5, 280 pound defensive end beast that's been being a tackle all day long. Like, let alone you kick the man, pulls his helmet, and then get his helmet off, but you just let him know that you're going to pull his face mask. Now he had your face mask and is strong enough to get it off of your head without the straps being popped. Like, he pulls it off of you, and whatever you must have said is why he swung it. Cause then you, and I'm not trying to write that. I don't want to be like I'm writing Garrett for swinging that helmet. He's totally wrong, like, for doing that. Because if he had got knocked out, you would have been concerned. You know what I'm saying? So something had to have been said while he's standing behind the lineman and Miles swings it and he hits him in the top of the head. So it's like, I side more with the NFL. I don't want to side with either one of them. I don't want to side with Mason or Miles at this point in time because, Miles, to be honest, you were up heavily. It wasn't even like it was a 10-point game. You guys were killing the Steelers, and it's a division rivalry, so I know all the bitter blood there. You know what I'm saying? Without a doubt, Matt, if he didn't learn his lesson from here, you know the NFL is going to take extreme measures the next time that he does do something. Now, this is the first whiff that I've got of anything of Baker Mayfield and some you know, affair, if you will. I know that he was engaged. I seen his fiance or his wife, I don't know, but I know they were at an all-star event last year. I didn't see him this year, but with all of this storm stuff around the Browns, whether it's Garrett, whether it's Mayfield, whether it's Odell, because you don't know if Odell's going to stick around, because Odell has been making smoke. I don't know if it's fired. I don't know what happens with Landry, too, but you have these two best friends at the wide receiver position that aren't beefing with each other. It's more or less the organization, and Baker is the guy that has to pull the reins. Like, you have a youngster that's already full of himself, but he doesn't – I know he doesn't talk junk to Odell or Jarvis, but to the league and, you know, media, things of that nature, he's already full of himself, but he's saying that he doesn't want to respond to them. So it's like they have more issues to worry about than just Myles Garrett, who has been, I want to say, a portion of the centerpiece of that defense, where they've already sent people packing. They already got rid of Jabril Peppers. Like, it's like you got rid of pieces in his defense, and this was supposed to be a staple, and nobody's able to be around him. Hopefully this Cleveland Browns team cleans this situation up. I know Myles Garrett, this is going to spill more into, you know, April when you guys have, you know, gatherings for the team and things of that nature. Then also when the draft comes around and whatever defensive player, they're going to have to come to you to talk to you because you've been through this process just a few years ago. So this is an interesting situation. Can Cleveland get back to relevancy and try to win the AFC North? It's up in the air. It's up in the air. I think the Ravens are the team right now until Lamar cools the hell off. And I know he's going to be taking this personal next season. So I think either the Ravens will probably be in a wild card situation or win the division again. But Cleveland's there. If they can keep the pieces there and everybody, like, stays within the realm of the rule book, because, you know, it's a heated game. Things are going to happen in the midst of the game. But, man, and just knowing that Myles Garrett has this hanging over him, and, you know, people are waiting to just throw more dirt on his name. You're going to have to rebuild yourself and rebuild your brand, especially while this whole organization is struggling, even from the top to coaching to the players on this team. It's a lot in Cleveland, Ohio. Anything else before we get away from that one?
Apparently, Baker came out over the Super Bowl weekend and said he did not have fun last year. I mean, I want to see him do so well. I want to see the Browns turn around. But it starts with the head coach, and last year's coach was a horrible hire. I mean, that guy has no business being a head coach. That's just my opinion, Ty. I hope this year they do better. But it's so hard with all these distractions. Like you said, OBJ is always another sideshow issue. I hope they make him happy. I hope Mayfield has fun. I hope Garrett stays playing and doesn't get suspended again. But all things considered, we're looking at a 7-9, 8-8 team, unfortunately, for me.
And they were a threat to get to the postseason 2 years ago, and for them to fall from that to being 6-10. And I know they tried to save face and save a little money going with Kitchens, because Kitchens was already there. But then it's kind of like egg on their face, because this is an experiment to me, and now they're running another coach in, and this is the third coach in 3 years. Like, this is a lot. This is a lot for a lot of these players to, like, buy into what he's preaching, and let alone outside of the, you know, the front office and the coaching staff, they have to look to their leader. Their leader is Baker Mayfield, who you're hitting on, right? And Baker Mayfield is under, let's just say he's under 25 years old, right? I want to be fair enough. He may be 24, 25. Let's just say that, right? But he's under 25. He's young. And he already has a magnifying glass on his back. Anything that he does, say, or moves, they are watching him. Let alone you up here cheating on your wife already with two different women. And they coming out speaking on you. Like, and that's smoke. Like, and I don't like to delve into people's private life, and what you do is what you do. But it's like, this is now on your back, too. Like, and I'm not bringing this up. I got my co-hosts here with me cooking that up. And that's actually what's been given. You know what I'm saying? Let alone, you're going to have – and this is crazy that I'm saying this. Baker's going to have to avoid distraction. How tough is that when it's like the media have already been after him and his athletic ability and his IQ on the field, let alone what he's doing in his own private life, they're going to be after him too. And let alone he's going to have to try and, you know, calm down two of the more boisterous wide receivers in the game, even though I know Landry is not even in the stratosphere of being boisterous compared to Odell, even though these two are similar. You know what I'm saying? So this is a lot to get turned around, and I'm going to be fair because I know how time flies. In the next 5.5 months, six and a half months, I'll be fair enough to say 6.5 months. You got to get this turned around in 6.5 months. Like this is a lot. This is a lot. I know you got pieces, but I want to see how this gets turned around, especially with a new coach in the past 3 years. Like, this is a lot. Okay, I'm going to get away from it unless you have something else to toss around. I'm going to be fair. Are you done with some more of this home cooking? I'll take that out of your kitchen. Any more home cooking? We're gonna
give Cleveland Browns a rest for now. We're going to have a lot to say about them in the next coming months, especially when, training camp gets going. And we're going to be keeping a close eye on them, Ty.
Okay, for sure. I told you, I knew Sports City. I knew I had dishes for him today. I knew I had dishes. Okay, so one more dish before we get into this weekend's festivities, and that is, and this one stunned me today, even though this person's play has been down. The Washington Redskins cut Josh Norman. Now, this guy is a quality cornerback. I don't want to hold too much against him, but the last two seasons, he's either been injured or he's been getting beat on the field, right? In which, I'm going to be personal and know that the doggone line need a cornerback now. Like, Patricia, I hope you hear me. Like, please, I hope you hear me. I know we need him. Like, make him get on the treadmill, keep his feet up to par, and then let him do what he does on the field, because him and Slade would work out. I like Darius Slade on the other side of the field, even though Slade does get beat at times, but Slade is one of the top corners in the game, but he's looking for big money just like these guys in the Cowboys are talking about, but that's a whole other conversation. But wondering what happens for Josh Norman in this situation, because he just left the Carolina Panthers while stuff was getting bitter down there in Carolina. He gets to Washington and more or less has that verbal spat with Thomas down there in New Orleans, and Mike was picking on him and making him look like a drum the way he was beating him. And now the Redskins are moving on from Norman at the cornerback position. Your thoughts on Norman, a team that you think ideally will be set for him to get his feet in and make an impression moving forward. And I don't think his career is over. I think that he can make a roster. But I want to hear your thoughts on Josh Norman.
Yeah, Josh Norman, you know, he's a pretty darn good corner. I know your Lions would love to have him. Your Lions want to make a step up, kind of like the Titans with Vrabel. They want Matt Patricia to take them to the NFC Championship this year. Getting a guy like Norman is one step closer, okay? He is still a shutdown corner for the most part. Would I like to see him on the Atlanta Falcons, my home team here in Atlanta? Absolutely. Will it happen? Probably not, because they don't spend money. Your Lions have a better shot of getting him, and, you know, he's a true talent. Will he mesh with the other guys on the team? That's the question. You know, is he locker room friendly? Or do we have a situation where, you know, guys don't want him to come to the team because, you know, he's kind of a me guy. He's kind of a self guy. He's an I guy. It's going to be interesting to see where Josh Norman lands. I would actually be very happy for your Lions if they got him. Ty, your thoughts if the Lions do get him and progress towards the NFC Championship?
I'm glad that I got you here, because, like, I try my best to stay away from talking about my team. But this year I've improved. Like, in the past year and a half, I've improved, because it's like, I can't continue to keep doing that and saying, like, I'm not going to talk about my teams. Like, I try to, like, sporadically throw it out there short and be sweet and get away from it. The situation with the Lions is, just like you said about Atlanta, I feel like we sipping the same cup of tea, because the Lions don't like to spend money, or they don't go after big names in the market. They'll go after somebody that's already achieved winning a Super Bowl or has been in the league, I want to say, more than 6 or 7 years, and they're getting close to being long in the tooth. Like, I was hype about them going against Snacks Harrison, and Snacks had a good two or three games. And then after that, it was like every time a quarterback said hype, Damon Harrison would stand up and just play pity pat with the lineman. Like, he wasn't making any impression on stuffing the run or getting to the quarterback at all. It was so bad that this year, at the end of the season, that not only is Snacks pondering his future, he's crying about a retirement. So, like, he knows that he might be done. And it's like, you get Snacks at the end of his run from the Giants, where the Giants knew that he was done. You know what I'm saying? So, this is a situation with the line that I'm looking at, because their biggest Achilles heel is the defense, right? And the main component of it has always been the secondary. That secondary will always lose games somehow, some way. They had Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, and he got that I want to say the front seven to commit to getting to the quarterback, and they did well that one season, holding teams under 20 points a game. But it's always been Slay, and in another corner on the side of the field, and it's like, yo, he's going to get beat all game long. And then by the time Slay pays attention to, like, okay, let me pay attention to this guy, and then Slay gets beat, and it's like, oh, it's happening all over the field, and the wheels start falling off. A guy quality of Josh Norman, I'm not saying that he's Slay or all of the top corners in the game, but he's a notable. Like, I want to put him into that discussion. Just to have two corners on it, at least it looks like you're trying. At least it looks like you're trying to work on the passing or the pass defense as anything, because you just got rid of the captain of the defense in the middle of the season last year, Quandre Diggs. And Quandre Diggs ends up going to the Seattle Seahawks and making a difference to get into the postseason. And he was one of the components of that defense this past season, in which there was an interview this week of Cliff Avril, a former defensive lineman for the Lions that went to the Seahawks, the same channel, went to the Seahawks, won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, and he said, and I quote, that he's embarrassed to say that he was a part of that Lions organization. It's like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, if they're not showing you the way to try to win, they traded you somewhere where as soon as you got there, you were an impact enough to get to the Super Bowl and play Peyton Manning and smack Peyton Manning around. It wasn't even like, okay, they just beat the Broncos. It was, what, 43-8? Like I think that was the score. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, so you got to show yourself something out there being the Lions organization. I'm not putting too much of this on Patricia, but I put a ton of pressure on Patricia if you were to talk to me outside of the kitchen regime. But it's like, anything Patricia does, one, it has to be playoffs or bust this year. If he doesn't make the playoffs, goodbye. Goodbye. And it's already bad that they think a lot of coaches that fall out of the Belichick team, oh, they're going to be something. They've been to the Super Bowl 9 times since they've been there, and they won 6. It's like, wait, hold on. This is while they are in the evil empire of Belichick and Brady. That whole New England team don't move with these coaches. They got to come there with a scheme and scratch their head and hope that it works for the organization that they're selected to go to. So that's one. It's playoffs a bust. Two, not only is it playoffs a bust, they got to win a game. They can't just get to the postseason and play and then lose. This has been Matthew Stafford's career. Stafford has gotten to the playoffs 3 times, and every time he got there, the first round he loses and can't score points. Like, and here goes 3. Matthew Stafford, and I know that they've thrown out, oh, he's part of trade talk, so on and so forth. Me, personally, with the money that they've thrown him, I want to see his arm fall off. Like, I want him to throw the ball until he can't play football no more. The money that you threw to him, he's going to have to prove, because as soon as you send him somewhere, he's going to have that revitalization of life. He's probably going to try and strike up a scoreboard. It's like, damn, this is what we let go again. And this is always what happens in Detroit. Look at the same situation I'm talking about with Cliff Avril. He left Detroit and gets to a Super Bowl and wins. Like, so Stafford got more than $100-some million out of this organization. I wouldn't be content with seeing him leave and taking a boatload of money out of Michigan. And you have his wife, Kelly Stafford, said, I wouldn't mind to go live in L.A. She says this was in this week to go live in L.A. and play for the Chargers since Phillip Rivers is gone. So it's like her head is out of Detroit too. So it's like, this is crazy all in itself. But they have to try to be competitive in the spending nature to try and win games. And third, just like you said, to get to an NFC championship or a Super Bowl, that's what it has to, like, I try my best not to say those words as a Lion fan, because I know Carmen knows my name, like, has me on her mailing list, has my email, like everything. Like, Carmen knows me very well. So it's like, I try my best. That's why I try not to say my team, because I know Carmen knocks on my door. So it's like, That's what has happened. They have to win more than one game and be ready to be ready for an NFC Championship and a Super Bowl. Because if not, they just went, 6-10 his first season. They go 3-12-1 in his second season. If he finishes under 500 and you got rid of Caldwell that finished over 500 every season he was there except that one season, and the one season that he didn't finish over 500 was Calvin Johnson's retiring year. Like, what? Like, you got rid of him because 9-7 wasn't acceptable? Well, 6-10 and 3-12-1 is acceptable? Ridiculous. So this is a piece to put on the other side of the field from Slay that they can work with and tool that defense as best as they can, because that defense was getting beat up so bad this year, and Patricia's supposed to be a rocket scientist in defense. So something has to give. Something has to give. Okay. Anything else we have on that before I get away from home cooking for me? He put a dish in front of me for a second. Look at him. He's trying to cook for me. Look at this. Anything else on that?
The dishes are coming like boomerangs right back at you, Ty. We got more and more to talk about the Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia's rise to fame in 2020, Ty.
Right. Rise to fame? So you believe their success beyond the season?
Yes. I honestly think Detroit could surprise some people this year. It depends on what they do in the next couple months. But anybody who has Belichick as their mentor, I'll use Mike Vrabel as an example, has a big upside in my opinion.
I think Vrabel is different because he actually played in that defense, and he at that time he didn't play with Patricia. That was a different coordinator because it was Cornell when he was there. Patricia's situation, it was more or less loaded around Brady because Brady at the point in time when Patricia was in New England, their defense wasn't great when Patricia was there either. It was more or less Brady doing what he can, him and Gronk. It was a Brady and Gronk show. So I don't know what type of turnaround Stafford has with broken bones in his back coming into the season. T.J. Hockenson being talked about, all of the big-time tight ends that are not in the league. Tony G has been one of them that said they are willing to work out with him this offseason. To me, the way that this season went, this is close to being a bust. But I want to at least give up. I want to be fair and say at least until this next season and his third season before I start to, flat out say T.J.'s a bust. But it's his rookie season. He didn't look as promising as he did coming out of college, especially playing at Iowa. He was bigger than all of the kids out there, and he was bullying them. Then once he got to the league, it was like, you're going to have to be more than just try to be the tallest guy on the field. So that's tough. And then looking at Josh McDaniel went to Denver. He quickly came back to New England. They tried to offer him a job in Indianapolis. He thought about it, said, I'm going to take the job. That next day he said, no, I'm staying home with Dad. And he stayed there. Bill O'Brien went down to Houston, took over the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans looked promising with talents like Deshaun Watson, T.J. Watt, and the guy that I love. I can't even say that I like him. I love him, DeAndre Hopkins. Ever since watching that story, he ripped my heart out of my chest, and knowing what his mom is going through and living with, it's like every time I see the Texans play, I want to see him score like 10 touchdowns, even though nobody would beat the Texans if he scored 10 touchdowns. But every time he scores, he tries to give his mother the football. She can't see him. She could just hear him come to her and hand her a ball because she's blind because of an altercation that happened. So Bill O'Brien left New England, gets down to Houston, and almost every postseason he's unsuccessful, in which this season – he pushed it as far as he could, but he ended up going up against that Kansas City juggernaut. I don't even want to call them a juggernaut since the Rams are the best show on turf. The Chiefs are the best show on grass. So I got to say it like that. And he ran into that situation and fell short. But it's like, when does Houston get over the hump now too? Because Bill O'Brien, it's been long in front of you since you've been there that it's like you guys are successful around Belichick. Now looking at Patricia, this is year three. In the first two seasons, you're not only under 500, you're heavily under 500. You're, how do I do this? You're 9-22-1. Like, that's disgusting. Like, this is me personally speaking, but I can just imagine people that are, you know, looking at this from Michigan as well. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of Lions fans that, you know, blindly love what's going on. Oh, we support the, you know, management, and Quinn's going to be all right. It's like, no. If Quinn don't get it done, him and his boys are going right back up here to Massachusetts and New England area where I am and figure it out. But it has to get over that situation, and Stafford's situation has to change as well with him. And I hate looking at this record of how he looks against winning teams. Teams that have winning records, it's under 15 or 16 wins. He doesn't even have 16 wins up against teams that are over 500 for the season. And it's not like he can make that claim for them other teams, because they have to win out throughout the remainder of the season. But it's like the ones that he wins are the games that he's supposed to win. Like playing a team that's under 500, that's like 4-12 on the end of the season, you should win that game. And they're giving you hundreds of millions of dollars to do this. So it's tough. But for you to have broken bones in your back and coming into this season, you're not only going to have to win the NFC North, you're going to have to win a game in the postseason and see how you move forward. And I really feel like they can. They have pieces to get it done. I feel like they can win a game in the postseason, but, you know, to win that second game and get to an NFC Championship game, the last time that happened was 1991 when the Lions played the Redskins, and the Redskins ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. And that was Barry's year, where Barry was going crazy, but he fell asleep or more or less wasn't getting the blocking that he needed down in D.C. But that's a whole other situation. But, yeah, this is what's in front of the Lions, and the Patricia Show, and well, the Quinn and Patricia Show, I got to say it like that. And if they are able to get Norman, I'm just trying to think of teams that would still take a stab at Josh Norman and bringing him here because of the baggage that he has. But I feel like no matter what he's talking about, Detroit could bring him in and actually help him revitalize that locker room, because there's not really a big voice. Even when you hear Stafford talk, Stafford's not a big voice kind of guy. Like, I feel like he tries to scream or whatever, but it's more or less he's just saying what he needs to say. They get out there on the field to try to, you know, implement what they're trying to execute. Like, that's the one thing I'm looking at with the Lions. So this is an uphill battle for them. Josh Norman, this is a tough situation, because I'm wondering if he gets signed immediately, before it gets closer to the summertime and you really try to figure out what roster you're going to end up being on moving forward. Anything else, Matt, before I get away from this?
Every year, Ty, I put a long shot bet in Vegas. This year, I've taken your Lions against my Cleveland Browns, 1,000-1 odds. Why not? Ty, your thoughts?
If you nail that, man, oh my goodness, man. Listen, and then every year people try to ask me, yo, like, just trying to be funny, they do it too, because they know my answer, and I say it every year, right? And this is in the confines of my family and, like, real close friends, you know. They go, what would you do if the Lions made the Super Bowl? I'm like, one, I wouldn't be at one of these functions. I don't care what's happening. If you have a Super Bowl party, you have a Super Bowl party. You can tell me if you're having ribeyes and filet mignon and ribs and seafood and Italian. Like, I am not coming. I will be in the confines of my own living room. I will make my own meal, my own chips and dip. I will do it. And I don't want to be around nobody. If the Lions make Super Bowl, I don't want to be around nobody. I want to be all by myself, because I feel like my love for the Lions is similar to how somebody loves the Chicago Cubs. I know that the letdown will happen. Like the kid that didn't get to see his superstar hero go to the game, and the hero walked right by him and didn't even acknowledge him, and he's holding his ball, walking away from the stadium. Like, man, like, he didn't say nothing to me. Like, it'll be something like that. I see Steph Curry do that to a kid out here in Brooklyn while the Warriors played the Nets, and the kid Steph didn't even acknowledge the kid, and the kid was right there in Steph's face. And it's like, man, I would feel like that if the Lions got the Super Bowl and fell apart. So it's like, I don't want to be around nobody and be like, yo, it's all right next year. Because, you know, damn well, if they got to the Super Bowl and it took them 50-something years to get here now, like, man, no. No, I don't want to be around nobody. So, yeah, if that happens, especially against the Browns, I would be concerned because, you know, Odell and Slay go at it. And we would need the likes of Josh Norman to try and cover Landry. So, and they got a lot of tools on that offense too in Cleveland too. So that would be tough, man. Especially with us talking about this right now in freaking February of 2020. Like this, we're a whole year away from next year's Super Bowl. So that would be nuts if that did go down. Either way, if the Browns wanted it, you and all your Browns fan, or if the Lions wanted it, I probably jump through glass windows and, I don't know, start streaking like the movie Old School with Will Ferrell. That's probably the only thing I could do. Like, but that, other than that, that would be a crazy pitch if you could nail that one. That'd be awesome. Okay. So we'll get away from it because we are at the 20-minute mark, and I do want to get into the festivities and the All-Star game and things of that nature as well. Now, it's going to get a little hot here in Sports City, but I'll save that part. Your thoughts on the three-point shootout? I actually like the three-point shootout now because it actually, you know, at one point it was like, okay, when do people get to 30? Like, can somebody touch the 30-point mark? And now they have, like, two extra shots that you can take from 6 feet behind the three-point line, and people are hitting that shot. And I think this is more or less the Steph Curry and Damian Lillard range shot, like when Steph gets back and Dame gets back, and now Damian Lillard is injured as well too. But there was some quality shooting last night, and I feel like when I was younger, you know, when you're young, you can't touch a 10-foot rim when you're under 10 years old, and you see people dunk like crazy. I was so infatuated with the dunk contest, couldn't wait to see the dunk contest, and fell in love with Sean Kemp and the Sonics, and I've been there ever since, and watching him jump on the free throw line being 6'10" and bending his legs something crazy, and then the windmill that he caught, you know, things of that nature. So that was my love for the dunk contest. But now that I've gotten older, gotten into my 20s, into my 30s, I'm in love with the three-point shootout, right? In which how the three-point shootout was going down, and it comes down to three with Bertans, Booker, and your this year's winner, Buddy Hield, in which on the show I picked Joe Harris, right? I thought the kid out of Brooklyn would be the shooter to win it because that's all he really does with the Brooklyn Nets. He'll get to the rim about two times a game. Other than that, he is sitting waving his hand at the three-point line waiting to knock this ball out the corner spot or knock this ball from the wing or shoot from the top of the key and just get you guys to come down court. He did not hold it down for me. But when it got to the end of the road for the shootout, I want to say in the second round, I was like, you know what? And you can ask people that are around me. I could try and tag them into the show as best as I can. I said, Buddy Hield is going to win. And the reason why I said it is because of the jersey number he wears. Buddy Hield wears 24. And the reason why he wears 24 is his inspiration and the reason, well, one of, I don't want to say the only reason, but one of the reasons he plays basketball, the reason why he learned it down there in the island, is Kobe Bryant. And I was like, what would be more fitting that Buddy Hield wins this three-point shootout in memory of Kobe? And sure enough, he wins the shootout with the 24 on his back. And it came down to the last shot at the buzzer. You talking about thrilling, like, and knowing that he needed at least four of those shots to go down on that last rack. He hit the first three, missed the fourth one, and it's like everything's on the line and just the thrill of basketball. Danny DeVito said basketball is the best sport because it's like theater. You do not know what's going to happen next. And just the thrill of the three-point shootout and how it went down, awesome stuff. Booker even started running like for that last shot right before Buddy let it go because he didn't know if it was going or not. Just the thrill of watching Booker run and watch Hill throw the shot up and it hit, and both of them started running crazy, one in the agony of defeat and one in the thrill of victory. It's just awesome. Your thoughts on the three-point shootout, Matt, and how things went down yesterday?
I got to give it up to Buddy Hield, the Oklahoma product, winning by one bucket. I think it was the last shot against heavily favored Devin Booker. Got to call out Trae Young. Trae Young, you laid an egg. You embarrassed the Atlanta Hawks. I believe you got last place. So, Trae Young, there was people hyping you up in the city like you were going to win it. People actually putting their hard-earned bread on Trae Young to win a three-point contest. The guy is erratic at best as a three-point shooter. I love it when he's splashing them in the regular season, but as far as staking him to win the three-point contest, you got to be kidding me, Ty. Your thoughts on Trae Young's abysmal performance?
I need you to look at this differently. You and everybody in the state of Georgia, not just in Atlanta, but the state of Georgia, need to give this guy a complete pass. Now, I understand where you guys are coming from, but you got to think about this in human form, right? This guy just played in the Rising Stars game the day before and was shooting shots like crazy in that game, right? He just played all week long, and he's supposed to come here and chill out. They said he's still performing, and he's in the All-Star game, right? He's in the All-Star game. So he got to say something. Like, he got to do a lot. Like if that's the case, then I want to check him for performance-enhancing drugs. I want to check his body to see if he has any technology on him or any robotic devices. Like, something has to give. He's human, and he's young. Like, is he under 23, 22, 23? Like, he's young. Like, give him a break.
Correct.
Like, I know you want him to bring it back home. That would be crazy to have Atlanta dunk contest winner and a three-point shooter. That would be crazy because, you know, you guys had Josh, you had Dominique. Then it would be crazy to have a shooter. You know what I'm saying? But Trae is doing so much in this All-Star weekend. He's supposed to be on vacation, and he's repping Atlanta. Like Atlanta should actually be grateful that he's out there, not only in the Rising Star game, being as young as he is, not only being in the I don't even know if he was in the skill competition. I think he was. But then to be in the shootout, you know what I'm saying? And now he's got to be in the All-Star game too. Like, how much do you want him to do and be successful at? Like, his arm is going to fall off. His arm is going to fall off. Like, I understand. I would want to see him shoot the ball better because we see him shoot from half court in games. Like, he's doing that every game. But it's like, I understand, especially playing sports and being an athlete being at the point in time, knowing how to get that shot up is going to tire you. And knowing that he has to get up. Well, now, instead of it's 27 shots that he has to take. He has to take 27 shots because they added two more now. Like, that's a lot, man. That's a lot. So I'm being fair to you, Trae. I'm actually defending you up against a Hawks fan, a diehard. So I understand both sides. I understand that he's, you know, being mad. He want to see you guys be – want to see you be successful for the city, put on for the team. But then again, just knowing that you will tire the load that he has to carry and the way he has to get shots up, I understand. Do you at least understand where he's coming from?
Yeah, and it's like Young Jeezy always says, you put on for your city, Trae, so show up in the second half. I want to see your assist go up by two per game. That's your goal for the second half, Trae Young. No, I'm a Trae fan. I'm sticking with them. I will attend a Hawks game in the second half, maybe one or two games, and we'll see his progression.
I don't know, especially with them at 15-41, but holler at my cousin Charlie Brown Jr. if you do get to a Hawk game. Tell him I sent you. He'll know exactly who I am. But he's deep on the bench. They won't let him up because Vince is on the farewell tour. But definitely get to a Hawk game, support them. I'm trying to see if my cousin can sneak me the black Peachtree jersey. I like the black and Peachtree. I like that one. That's a hot jersey. I like that one. I don't like it when it's that white and Peachtree. It looks funny. I don't like that one. But the black and pink, that's sick. I got a hot pair of Nikes I can rock with it. Okay. Moving forward, now, here's where stuff gets crazy in the kitchen, at least with myself. It's like the world today is surrounded around politics. It's like politics take over everything at the end of the day, right? In which I want to hear your thoughts, Matt, on this dunk contest. Now, like I said, I've always been thrilled, and still to this day, I'm still thrilled with the dunk contest, but the way that this dunk contest went down, one, get the right players. They had three of them at least, and I give credit to, you know, Aaron Gordon, who I actually want to save him for last. Let me put him back away. I give credit to Connaughton. Connaughton is now a dunker where his whole life he's been a shooter. Like, every time he got on the floor, it's like, yo, make sure you do not let him out of your sights, because this guy's a dead-on shooter. But for some odd reason, and he actually used the plot in the middle of the game or the dunk contest, that white men can't jump plot, and caught the dunk like that, too. Connaughton is now a jumper, and he can dunk. So it's like, you got to give him respect. The winner, Derrick Jones Jr., who I picked on this show. I got that right. I got that right here on air. You can go back and hear it. It is here on the Crossover Cafe. This is the crazy part, because him and Gordon went at it. And the way that I'm looking at Gordon and trying to, like, see what's for last. Shout out to Dwight Howard. Dwight, he should not be in a dunk contest. This guy is an in-game dunker. He jumps supremely high. And that's it. It's not like you're going to see Dwight pull off something super creative. He's going to jump high. He's going to be like, oh, he did that. Like, or, oh, like, he jumped 13 feet in the sky and dunked. Like, you got to catch Dwight, like, on a fast break. Like, they're going to have to get creative, like, have somebody run with him, throw it off the board, and make somebody jump with him and then see how high he is. And then he'll dunk on somebody real crazy. Like, that's the only way Dwight Howard will work in a dunk contest. He's not as creative as Sean Kemp was at 6'11", or guys that can get up there and be that tall. Like, he's a power dunker. Like, you don't want to be underneath him with that type of dunk. Now, I called Derrick Jones, and I felt awkward because I knew a lot of people would go with Aaron Gordon, Aaron Gordon in the dunk contest. Aaron Gordon is one of my favorites. I'm not going to lie. I just got to an argument yesterday. I'm talking about a tooth and nail argument about Aaron Gordon should have beat Zach LaVine. We got into it heavily. You mean to tell me that you're going to have a dunk off like 32 years ago when I was a kid? I was 7 years old when this was going down, when Michael Jordan and Neek went at it in the same city. It wasn't the same arena. But Neek and Mike went at it, and they were going 50 for 50. You're having the same situation where Aaron Gordon he put up 5 50-point dunks and still lost. Like, wait, whoa. And then the last one, they gave him a low one because he clipped Taco Fall a little bit. Do you know how freaking tall 7'5" is? Like, are you terrible? Are you terrible? Like, okay. Okay, I'm 6'2". You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I'm tall to certain people that I'm around. But I ain't taller than, like, 6'6". I see my cousin that's on the horse right now, a shooting guard, Charlie Brown Jr., he's 6'7". I got the picture that I took with him this summer. 6'7" in the league, this dude is over me. Like his chin is over my head. Like, I'm like, man, I feel short, and I'm not short. And he's way shorter than Taco Fall. And Taco Fall is 7'5". Now, here go the crazy part. Aaron Gordon wanted to jump over Shaq, but Shaq was like, no, because Shaq got jumped over by Hamidou Diallo, former dunk championship from last year, from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Shaq said no. He said, put Taco Fall. Point to Taco Fall. Taco Fall comes into the court, and he jumped over Taco Fall. He gave him a 47? Wait. Three of y'all said he deserves a 9? Like, okay, I want to see whoever sits up there and gave him a 9 jump over somebody that's 6 feet. That's all. Jump over somebody that's 6 feet. And then think about foot and a damn half for him trying to jump over him. You got to be out of your mind. And then you got Gordon pissed off to the point saying, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do dunk contest. Because he's gotten robbed twice. And for him to be on the Orlando Magic, if these guys don't get a success heading into the postseason like they did last year, but then got beat by the Raptors, and everybody knows that happened to the Raptors. Like, the Magic won that first game in Orlando and then got swept for the rest of the season. But it's like, it's tough for Gordon to showcase himself because the team doesn't win. I mean, Orlando could threaten to make the postseason. They're the 8th seed. They're 24-31. Like, and this is the place where he can showcase himself, and you're robbing him here. And I did call Derrick Jones, and Derrick Jones had some good dunks, but this is a tough situation. Matt, your thoughts on the dunk contest?
Oh, wow. Aaron Gordon, absolutely 100%, without a doubt, got robbed. I don't know how they could do it to him twice like they did. It's just one of those things. It's like a boxing match. The judges come into play. It's kind of a shame. Like you said, he jumped over Taco Fall. I guess he barely grazed him, and he was penalized for that. I mean, after hitting, what, 550s in a row, perfect scores. I don't know if you can tweak it, though. I don't know if you can change it. And a shout-out to Timeless Ty for calling the dunk champion. I believe he was 7-1 odds. So that was a tall call by Ty. On the show last week, there is tape of it. We have proof, ladies and gentlemen. But that's a shame for Gordon. Like you said, I don't blame him. I think though he'll soften up next year, and they'll get him to come back, and he will win one. Eventually, Aaron Gordon will be a dunk champion over the NBA All-Star break. You can mark my words. I know right now, you know, he wants to distance himself. He's ticked. I'm sure there was some sort of bonus incentive, some extra money that was given to the winner. But, you know, Aaron Gordon, that was sick. I'm watching a highlight of it right now. Gordon jumping over Taco Fall. People were going crazy.
He's 7'5". His head is at the net. You mean to tell me that his head is at the net, right? And he's jumping over that. Like, wait, hold on. So that means you mean to tell me that Aaron Gordon basically can hit his chest on the rim. Like, he can really hit his chest on the rim.
I wouldn't say this, though. This was one of the greatest dunk contests probably since the two you mentioned, Jordan and Dominique. This was a good one. This was very entertaining, and even though I feel that Gordon got slighted, it was one of the best dunk contests that we'll probably ever see. It was that good. So we got to see a show last night, and that brings us to the huge, huge All-Star game tonight. Ty, your thoughts on the game tonight? We got a big game brewing up.
Yeah, now I was going to close out on that too. This boy is cooking today, Sports City. I'm loving what Matt's doing. I'm going to be brutally honest, Sports City, and this is with my brother here right now. I'm not into the All-Star game. Not since the past 2 or 3 years. I'm sorry. Every year before it, I was loving it, but you have, and I love how they give him the best player in the league, and he's arguably in that discussion, but you have the baby, LeBron James, and this is what I call him, a baby. Not him on the floor. No. Not him on the floor. LeBron is a monster on the floor. But in his All-Star weekend, he changed the whole outcome of the All-Star game because the East was weaker than the Western Conference. Like, you got the All-Stars. Make it happen, LeBron. You had everybody out East. You just kept losing. Now it's a pickup game, and whoever picks who is on the team, and knowing Giannis don't know how to pick players, he picked a whole bunch of players that were international players on his team. So now LeBron has a loaded roster with Western Conference. So now you're in the West, and you got a loaded Western Conference team on your pickup team. Like, it's like this is all catered around LeBron. Picture Michael Jordan saying, oh, let's change this to the pickup game, All-Star game. And Mike picked up Magic, Bird, Robinson, Patrick. Like, man, people wouldn't even play. People would be like, yo, I'm not playing. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? This is what the All-Star game has become. I'm not buying it by any means. I'll watch it because there's something to watch. Of course, you're going to see the ooh and ah dunks, and LeBron's going to try and go dunk crazy. But I'm not thrilled as I used to be 3 years ago when it was East versus West. Now it's Giannis versus LeBron. It's hilarious.
That's exactly right, Ty. We got a situation here where the odds makers are telling us they're setting this total. It opened at 302. Now, I'm like you. The game is kind of meaningless, kind of boring. You could flip channels in between it. But because Vegas sets lines on it, we can eliminate some boredom by speculating potentially. Now, the Team World and Team USA game on Friday night, you saw the over-under on that game opened at 299 points, Ty. It went up to 311. Now, it landed on 272, I believe. It went 30-something points under the total. Now, this All-Star game, Team LeBron against Team Giannis, opened at 302 and has jumped up to 306.5. they say there's no defense in All-Star games. You know, it's always a show off and all this. But I think if I had to speculate and to make the game more interesting, because I'm sure some of your viewers have access to DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now legal in some of the states up north, and it's getting more and more legal everywhere and will soon be legal in every state probably by 2022. I would tell them that I see a little bit of defense. I don't know which quarter it's going to come in, probably the last quarter. And I lean the under in this game. It's not really saying a whole lot when both teams just have to score under 150. So I see a game that is probably 145 to 135. You do have to give the nod to Team LeBron. But I'm like you, Ty. This is a snooze fest. Maybe tune in into the fourth quarter. You can watch a little bit of the first half, but you can flip around and catch whatever other programs you want, because this does not entertain me. I'm only watching it, hopefully, trying to make a little extra coin on this under that I'm giving the show today.
Right. Like you said, I'm watching it because, one, it's my favorite sport, even though football and basketball are neck and neck, but it's like that last little stride goes to basketball. But there's no why, because all of the names that are together. But just knowing that LeBron just loaded his team up and got everybody he know on his team. And it's like Giannis said, he wanted a safe face for the international people and players from Africa and things of that nature. It's like, dog, you're going to get murdered with no shooters. You're going to have a whole bunch of people that want to play in the paint. They're not going to chase these guys around the perimeter. Like, this is going to be real tough. Like, you got – I didn't know that. Like, the way that they have a shot is if some of these dudes get in a foul trouble. That's it. That's it. But, you know, just like you said, that 300 mark, that may be reachable. That may be reachable. I think the Rising Star situation got crazy of them not reaching the over-under because it turned into a dunk contest for the last 4 minutes. Like, they all were trying to get crazy dunks, and they all were trying to feed Zion so Zion could catch that dunk off the backboard and do the East Bay, like, or it was something that Zion was trying to do something crazy. It was like, I love watching Zion. I don't care what nobody say. He ain't on my team, but I love watching this dude play ball. But this is what it's turned into. Of course, we all probably going to be tuning in around 8, 9 o'clock to watch this game, but it's not the same feel watching the East and West go at it. And now LeBron is on the West. It's really slaughtered. He came over here and even got a pickup game out of it. Like, come on. Like, you know. It's different. All right, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut down this hell of a show, at least in my standard. I feel like we had an excellent time. Your thoughts on today's show, and have at it as we close out the brunch.
Well, shout out to you, my friend. You inspired me. I know my game was weak a couple of days ago. There was stuff going on. There always is in our lives. And sometimes we got to refocus and we need a pep talk from our friends. So I appreciate it. You woke me up. You put a fire. You brought me some dishes that I needed. I needed to get off my chest. I need to show that I'm the real deal. My motto is your health is your wealth. This is Peachtree's Finest. Signing out. Happy Sunday, Ty. Enjoy it.
Sports City, you already know what we do, man. It's time to close out. Now, what? That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the chefs again. And if they don't know, and now they know.